I'm going to first begin by reading another excerpt from Smith Wigglesworth. This one is from the words of this life. This happened several times to him. This one is pretty cool. He said, "At one time I was a meeting in Ireland. There were many sick carried to that meeting, and helpless ones were helped there. There were many people in that place who were seeking for the baptisms of the Holy Ghost. Some of them had been seeking for years. There were sinners there who were under mighty conviction. Then there came a moment when the breath of God swept through the meeting. In about 10 minutes, every sinner in the place was saved. Everyone who had been seeking the Holy Spirit was baptized. And everyone sick was healed." So God is a reality, and His power can never fail. As our faith reaches out, God will meet us, and the same rain will fall. It is the same blood that cleanses, the same power, the same Holy Ghost, and the same Jesus made real through the power of the Holy Ghost. What would happen if we believe God? You know, when they mentioned this, he said when that happened, he just stood up front and watched. He didn't do anything. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to John 10. I'm going to share a little bit today, something I've never shared before. At least in this kind of context. John 10, verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And if you turn over to verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I'm going to give a little bit of a testimony about the last 25 years about hearing the voice of God. You know, one of the very first things you hear at Water of Life when you come here is you can hear God. And that was something new for me, that you could hear God. We were always told that our minister could hear for us, that God would lead you, but never that he would speak to you and you could follow him. The first time I heard God, the voice of God, I was 12 years old. And Doyle shared a little bit about this. I don't know if any of you have been in the Methodist church where there were acolytes, but an acolyte was a young girl dressed in a robe, and our job was, before the service would start, we would walk down the aisle, we would go open the big book, and we'd light the candles, and then the service could start. Very traditional. And it was always two of us, nice, cute little white robe, you know, cute little curly hair. I mean, you couldn't see anything so sweet. And we had to sit in the front row because that was our job. And then when the service was over, you'd go close the big book, turn on, you know, snuff out the candles, and head out. Well, I was sitting there, and a pastor was talking. I don't even know what he was talking about, and the power of God fell on me. And I'm 12 years old, and it even was on my girlfriend next to me because she got these big, wide eyes, and she looked at me, and she goes, "What is going on?" And I didn't know what was going on, and I was shaking, and I just knew that the power of God was there, even though I'd never felt it before. And I heard in my spirit God say, "I want your life." Well, being 12 years old, you know, I'm like, "Oh, sure, no problem. Just go away," you know. But that was the first time I heard God. The second time I heard God was right after I came to Water of Life, and I heard a prophet and an apostle say, "If you're a sheep, you can hear God." This was the first, we were in Frisco, the first year that we lived there. Evan, this was probably 1987. We had just moved into the house. We were on a very tight budget. And God, I was praying one day, and God said, I want you to give me $70. Well, I had $70 in the bank, but that $70 was for our mortgage payment that was due in a couple of days. And I hesitated for a minute and just kind of tried to work it out, but that voice wouldn't go away. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Asked my husband, I said, I believe God wants me to try this. And he gave me permission. He said, well, go ahead and we'll see what happens. Well, I gave the 70, and the next day I got a letter from the mortgage company. And they said, we have reviewed your loan, and for the next 30 years, you need to send us a payment that's $70 less than what you were paying. I knew I'd heard God. Now, I'm obviously not going to tell you every time that I've heard God, because if you walk with God, you hear him every day. But there have been times when he's done some miraculous things in my life. And it wasn't long after that that voice that I've heard came to me and said, I want you to make signs. Now, I had been looking for a job. I had two small children, but what my husband was making wasn't enough to cover our bills. I knew I had to find some work. I put myself through college as a waitress. I thought, well, I'll call up the restaurants because they're always looking for waitresses, especially ones with my background, my experience. I was a very good waitress. Nobody was hiring. That voice kept telling me, I want you to make signs. I suppressed it. I had a college education, nothing in commercial art. I wouldn't know the first thing about making a sign. I kept going, and that voice kept saying, I want you to make signs. And it finally got to the point one evening, I was getting ready for church, I stopped in my bedroom and I looked up and I said, okay, if you want me to make signs, you're going to have to show me, because I don't have a clue of how to do this. I went to church that night, and right after the service, someone who we knew, Jane Langford actually, came up to me and she said, Kathy, do you know Albertsons is looking for a sign maker? Now, I'd never told anybody what God had been telling me. I kind of looked at her sideways, and she said, and you know what? I'll watch your kids for you for free. I went to Albertsons that night, got there at 10 o'clock. The only manager there was the front-end manager, the guy that runs the, you know, the cashiers. I walked up. I said, I hear you're looking for a sign maker. He said, do you have any experience? I said, well, I've made some signs for my husband's restaurant. He said, you're hired. 10 o'clock at night, I have a job. That went on for a little while. And you know, while I was at Albertsons, I learned the very basics of sign making while I was being paid. I learned them on my own. God showed me what to look for. I looked at other work around me, but God taught me the very basics by paying me. That went on for a while. That part grew. Albertsons, they liked my work so well that another store asked me to work for them. Another store asked me to work for them. Another store asked me to work for them. It got to be that in a corporation that was number six in the company, I was the only employee out of thousands that had the privilege of working from my house, and I would call them and tell them what hours I worked. You can't do that in this kind of retail business, but God gave me that kind of grace among these people. It then led into, I started making signs at home, I started making banners, that kind of thing, and my business grew. A couple years later, that same voice that I knew came up in my spirit again and said, I want you to open up a storefront. That means taking the sign business from my garage and my living room and dining room and where else I needed, and actually opening up a sign shop, a sign business. I had two small children at home with me at the time. I suppressed it. I said, this cannot be God. I have two small children. I can't do that. That voice never went away. I never told anybody. When this stuff would come up in my heart, I would just pray. I mean, to go to my husband and say, I need to open up a storefront, We just kept praying, and I'd suppress it. It kept coming up. I knew that voice. I did, and I knew that voice. One day, my husband came home. It was about a month later. Said, I'm no longer working for this restaurant. He said, I think we need to look into opening up a storefront. I was flabbergasted. I never considered that God knew what he was doing in the business world. He knew I couldn't handle it with two children, but he made a way. Through a couple miracles, we opened up our business on Main Street in Frisco. And you know, the first day that I opened it, a guy walked in and ordered $10,000 worth of signs. I knew God was with us. Not very many years after, well, about 6 years after that, here's that voice again. I want you to go back to teaching. I said, oh, this cannot be God. Suppressed it again, but that voice never went away. I can't tell you that I thought that the only way I could go back to teaching was to go back to college. It had been 20 years since I had been in a classroom. And you know the fear, Basil, of having to go back to school when you're in your late 40s taking classes so you can get your teaching degree up to par, get your certificate. I thought, oh, there's just no way. No. That voice never went away. Never told anybody. Didn't tell my husband, didn't tell anybody, just kept praying. And one day my husband looked at me and said, I think it's time you leave here. What do you think you ought to do? I kind of hesitated for a minute and I said, I think I need to go back to teaching. He said, you got it, find out what you need to do. That was in, January of 2003. I made some phone calls, found out that for me to teach again, to get my certificate for Texas, which I never had, all I had to do was take a test. Granted, it wasn't an easy test. It was an all-day test, but that's all I had to do. God made a way for me to substitute, because I had the degree, I could substitute and then take the test in April. He also made a way that the first school I substituted was the high school. I walked in that day, and sure enough, at the desk was a woman that I had done a lot of signs for, worked with her with the city. She had just changed jobs. She goes, Kathy, what are you doing here? She said, what are you doing with the business? I explained to her what happened. She said, I am putting you at the top of the list. If ever we need a sub, you're going to be the first one we call. You know, my degree was in elementary education, and that's what I wanted to teach. But God put me in the high school because, if any of you remember high school and you had a substitute teacher, you gave them busy work and all you did was monitor the classroom. Well, for 4 months, all I did was study for the test. I'd give the kids their busy work. We'd all sit down. They'd study. I'd study. I passed the test with flying colors. It took 10 hours. I had my teaching degree. Then it came time to find a job. Now, I don't know if any of you realize, but teaching jobs in this area can be difficult to find. The school district that I worked in had 500 applicants for each job position that they had. I had already substituted for some elementary schools. An elementary school principal that I knew wanted me to work in her school. And it looked like I had a job. But at the last minute, the district pulled some changes, and the job that I thought I had wasn't there. This was a week before school started. That voice was still in my heart. And I told God at one point, it looked like I wasn't going to have a teaching job that year because everybody had already hired everybody they knew. Everything looked like it was closed. I told God, you know, I know this voice. If you want me to substitute for another year, that's fine, but I know this voice. If this is you, and this voice says I have a teaching job, I'm not going to give up. That night I had to go to a football meeting for Evan, and I ran into a woman that, you know, our sons play football together. She said, Kathy, how's that hunting job? How's that, you know, did you get your job? Do you have a job, teaching job? I said, no. I said, it fell through. She looked at me and she said, we had an emergency today at our school. We have a position open. She said, let me make a phone call. The next morning, the school called me and said, are you available today to come in for an interview? Now, this is the school that my boys attended. I'd already subbed there. They knew me. The principal said, can you come in for an interview? I said, sure. She said, come in at 4 o'clock. I spent the day reading on my philosophy of education, the philosophy of Texas's education, the scope and sequence of third grade. I mean, you know, spent the whole day doing that. I mean, I was going to get ready for this interview. I put on a bright purple suit. I mean, I figured, you know, we're going to make an impression. I walked in, sat down, you know, shoulders back, head up, ready for the fight, ready for the first question. She looked at me and she goes, what shirt size do you wear? I looked at her and went, what? I mean, I was ready to give her my philosophy of education. She said, oh, you're hired. What shirt size do you wear? God had the job. He not only had a job, he had the perfect job. I was 4 blocks from my home. On nice weather days, I walked. My children were with me. They rode to school with me. They came home with me. God was with me. I know the voice. Now that voice again in April 07, April and May, came to me while I was worshiping one day, and that voice said, I'm separating you and your husband. That shocked me. It really did. For a little bit, after a while, I saw it was more clear, but that one hurt. And I'm sure nobody remembers, but I spent about a week back in the back trying to hide from that lovely little camera why God was doing that in my heart. Nobody knew. I didn't tell anybody. Finally, when the week was over, I did say to Doyle, God's separating Jack and I. The whole week long, we'd worship, and that voice that I knew would come up in my heart and say, Kathy, I'm your strength. I'm your bulwark. I'm your strong defense. And he started separating me from my husband. That went on for a little while. I knew I was going to walk, you know, I figured I was going to walk alone. And in all honesty, I thought either I would stay with him and he would just let me do what God wanted me to do, or I was going to be alone. And I think it was October 22nd of last year. My parents were down here visiting, and our dog, we woke up that Sunday morning, and our dog had suddenly died. Things were not well in our house. They had progressively gotten worse over the years, and it was almost like that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was devastated. All I could, you know, if I didn't have the hope that I did, I don't know what I'd have done, because that just, it was like, let's get her while she's down. And not that I had this extreme love for the dog, but it hit all of us. In fact, I know that the five of us were sitting in a row crying. Somebody thought that somebody in our family had died. I mean, they did, but, you know, they thought it was some major person. It was the dog. But what hurt was my faith had been working. I had seen an increase in the power of God in my life. And I was sitting in the chair going, you know, Jesus, I had the faith to save that dog, and I didn't use it. And we were walking, you know, the men were walking and the women were walking at that time. And my heart was just, I was, what would be the term? It was at a real low point. And I'm not one to, I always had hope. I was one of those kids that it didn't matter how bad it was, tomorrow was going to be better. I mean, I was just born that way. I know I have that heart. Nothing was ever too bad. Tomorrow will be better. And I was trying to push out of that depression, that hurt, that disappointment that I was in with you know, the dog being the last straw. And I was walking around with the men and women. And it just so happened that every time I'd come around here, I'd meet Doyle. We'd be side by side parallel, and we'd walk up there, and then I'd walk around again, and sure enough, I'd meet Doyle, and we'd walk parallel. I mean, he didn't know what was going on. And this happened again and again and again and again. I'm a third grade teacher. I know mathematically that cannot work because he's got this short way and I got this long way. I mean, you know, I've tried to explain this to third graders. It doesn't work. Well, it kept doing that. And about, I can't tell you, 6, 7 times. And I finally said, Father, what are you trying to tell me? And I heard that voice again. That I know, that I've learned to trust. That same voice that got me in the sign business, that same voice that got me in a storefront, that same voice that got me back to teaching, that same voice said to me, Kathy, you're going to walk with this ministry. I said, well, of course. I mean, I thought I was. I didn't understand what God was trying to tell me, but I understood I know how to trust that voice. I didn't trust a man's voice. I didn't trust my husband at the time's voice, but that voice I learned how to trust. A couple weeks later, I was God had me prophesy about our new president. That was kind of scary. Afterwards, I was praying, and I said, you know, I know you have made me a prophetess, but I said, I don't believe I'm strong enough to do this on my own. I was looking at Sarah Palin. I said, you know, this woman can stand out there and take all that. I said, I don't know if I'm strong enough. And God said, Kathy, I have a covering for you. It's Doyle. That kind of surprised me. I know that voice. That voice didn't say my husband. That voice said, it's Doyle. I took what he said to heart. I understood that my husband wasn't going to be there. I knew I was going to walk with Doyle. I just didn't know in what aspect. I didn't know how far it was going to go, but I knew my life was in this ministry. That voice also said to me, this is your last year of teaching. You know, and this was in the beginning of November. I started then getting my classroom ready. I knew that voice, that I would make sure that, you know, all the things that we were doing, I'd have them packed up. And ready to go. I knew it was my last year. At the end of November, I prophesied something, and later that night, Doyle called. Won't go into it, but asked me a couple questions. Hung up. Our conversation was probably not less than a minute. Hung up the phone. I spent the whole night awake. I watched a 3-hour documentary on Sputnik. I couldn't sleep. But I went over that voice that I learned to trust. The next morning, I got out of bed. I was alone in the house. I mean, my boys were there, but Jack was out of town, which it was just God. The next morning I got up, coming ready for church. I didn't know, still didn't know what God had in mind. And I walked out in the kitchen, and I was reading, just getting my heart settled, getting ready to go to the church, and that voice came back. This is a voice that I had to really trust right now. You know, it's one thing to go back to school. It's another thing to trust with your life and the life of your children. I was getting ready for a life change, and I knew it. That voice, I can tell you, I was sitting right in the chair, had my eyes down on a book, and that voice said, "Don't look back." He said, "The measure you look back is the measure you'll miss what I have for you." Got it. The next couple days, God led me, changed my heart, went through some massive deliverance, whatever, but I heard that voice, "Don't look back." When it came time to make an important decision in January, I was sitting on the bed and realized it was down to me. It wasn't Doyle. It wasn't Jack. It wasn't my children. It was down to me. And I sat on that bed, and I realized we're going to have to finish this. And I had already told Jack what was going on. And I sat on my bed and said, "I don't see how this will work." And that voice again said, "You can go now." I said, "Well, I don't see how that's possible." That voice that I've learned to trust said, "You can go now." And I thought about it for a second, and it just opened up. God worked it out where I left Frisco, I went to Plano, and I can't tell you how smooth the move was. You would think in this kind of situation, it had been nothing but hell. But the man I left said, "Go. I'm not stopping you." I called him the next day, said, "I need the boys." He said, "I'll give them to you." I told him, "I need this. I'll give it to you." God was with me. You know, anybody that is born again is a sheep. You can hear God. And I had enough experience in the 25 years up till now to trust that voice, that when it came down to, that serious of a situation, I could trust that voice. And you know what? I came out okay. I came out more than okay. Someday when I get the faith to tell you how bad it was, if you could see how bad a position I was in and what God brought me out of, I understand the story of Moses delivering the Israelites. I understand the Red Sea parting. I understand the power of God. I think I'm done.